Chapter 8. The International Law of the Sea. The International Law of the Sea is one of the oldest disciplines in the public international law, and it has been a topic of interest for centuries, including in the age of the explorers. Indeed, some of the most noteworthy contributions to the development of international law have focused on the proper regulation of the world's oceans and seas. A classic example is Hugo Grotius's notable work Mare Liberum from 1609. In the book, Grotius offered a well-known strong defense of the freedom of the seas. A substantial part of the law of the sea is concerned with trying to balance the interests of coastal states that wish to extend their sovereignty and jurisdiction to the waters of their coasts against the interests of other states that may wish to enjoy the many benefits the sea offers for a host of different purposes. In practice, this balancing of interest is primarily dealt with through the division of the sea into a host of different maritime zones, wherein the coastal states and the other states have different rights and obligations. This so-called zonal system is based on a basic notion that the rights of the coastal state diminishes gradually the further from the coast and into the sea one moves. It must be noted, though, that the deep seabed and its resources are deemed to be so-called common heritage of mankind and are thus meant to be exploited for the collective benefit of all. The law of the sea is of pivotal importance to solving a host of contemporary issues of the highest international importance. For example, in recent years, much attention has been turned to the situation unfolding in the South China Sea. Here, China has adopted a host of aggressive postures in its effort to secure influence and resources. In July 2016, the Court of Arbitration dealt a severe blow to the Chinese claims in the South China Sea. One of the things the court had to deal with in its lengthy award was the definition of what constitutes an island under international law. China has sought to change its rights in the South China Sea by expanding and building structures on top of local reefs and other maritime features. But the court did not find that any of these maritime features in question could be classified as islands that could generate any economic rights, and also concluded that China could not alter the status of the features through artificial constructions. Another area where the law of the sea is of immense contemporary importance relates to the consequence of global change in, for example, the Arctic region. The decrease in the ice in the Arctic has opened up for the possibility of navigation through what is known as a Northwest Passage above the North American continent, as well as a Northeast Passage above Norway and Russia. But how should these waterways be regulated? What are the rights of the coastal states where compared to the rights of other states they may wish to utilize the areas and the seas for navigation? The Arctic Ocean is also the scene of contemporary efforts to delimit the continental shelf beneath the ocean. Here, Russia, Canada, United States, Norway, and Denmark have competing claims to the continental shelf. Different claims have so far been brought before a commission on the limits of the continental shelf. Finally, the law of the sea also concerns itself with conservation of marine life, fish, whales, etc., as well as protection of the marine environment. Here, of course, the zonal system and the spatial division of the sea into different areas is not very optimal. Thus, the regulation in the international law of the sea is here tailored to deal with the protection of the individual species in question, such as the whale, or to the concrete source of pollution. In practice, there are substantial overlaps between the law of the sea and international environmental law.